There we go. For those that are listening online, good morning. That's why I've asked Yade to start looking at sorting this out for me. We're gonna go into this year hopefully with our running shoes on. And for me, I need to give you some background to this message. I don't like doing things just for the sake of doing them. You know, I am that person that can be doing something but nothing. My head is blank, and yet I look as if I'm pondering on something. What are you thinking about? My wife would say, I go, nothing. And I am not thinking about anything. I have that ability to dream. And I'm waiting for this conversation with the Holy Spirit where I can say, Lord, speak to me. Okay, I'll go to sleep then, because I hear nothing. But there's times where I start putting pen to paper and it flows. When I was a young Christian, I went on a Christian holiday with my wife and children, and we had an opportunity to do things spiritually in that sense. And I had an opportunity to write, and we were asked to write down what God was saying. And I'm dyslexic and I struggle with writing, and when I do write, I can't understand what I've written. I think I write in tongues. It's a spiritual language. But the Lord spoke to me, and I just pen just flowed. And sometimes, if you're fortunate enough to be able to speak on the Lord's behalf, whether it's in worship or word, sometimes it just flows, and you wonder where it came from. It comes from the inside out, and it's been given to us. And so I want to bring a message, and it's entitled, A Time To. And we heard, as Claire was praying with us, now is that time. And a time too. And I just want to, I don't normally write things down, but there's something I wanted to share. So I have written one or two things down and a handful of scriptures. I have the privilege of sharing today, and it is a privilege. Whenever you have an opportunity to represent, many of you will be in work situations where you get an opportunity to represent someone else or represent the company in that which you serve, or represent the Lord within a certain situation. And it's a privilege. And if it's not a privilege, then we shouldn't be a representative. We should allow that to go to someone else. But I find it a privilege, as anyone else who comes here to share with us does, I'm sure. A privilege to share. The Bible says, today is the day of salvation. And in this portion of scripture here, it says, in the time of my favour, I heard you. In the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now, not tomorrow, not yesterday, now is the time of God's favour. Now is the time of God's favour, and now is the day of salvation. Doesn't matter which version we look at, whether it's the NIV that I'm familiar with, or the New King James, or another version. Now is the time. Now means now. Now is the time of God's favour. And when we look through scripture, we will see, I mentioned it in prayer this morning, that in God's word, it says this, in Isaiah 61, it says, surely people will look and say they are blessed of the Lord. And I'm blessed of the Lord. Are you? I'm blessed. And people have asked me, and I'm going to digress maybe, and I haven't got a safety net. I haven't got a watch, apart from Susan's, that I can hardly see. They said, did you have a good Christmas? And I want to share with you, church, that I had a blessed Christmas. You know, I won't go into detail, but, you know, throughout the years, it's not been so blessed during them years, but God has been faithful. There's been times of struggle in health and in finances, in vision. There's been times of lack for all of us, hasn't there? But do we just become fair weather Christians? We say, Lord, I'm blessed because you've blessed me. Or do we say, even if I can't see the blessing, I'm blessed? But this year it was a visible blessing for Susan and myself. We saw the hand of God move in ways that we didn't expect. In the hand of provision, where the Lord gifted us certain things that we wasn't expecting. And we are so grateful. We've had a blessed end of 2023. But now is 2024, and we believe that God is going to do something in us and through us. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that the Lord is going to move in my life and in your life. 2024 is a year of possibilities, isn't it? It's a year of possibilities. In this portion of scripture here in Mark 10:27, Jesus looked at them and said, "With man it is impossible." Now we're talking about who can enter the kingdom of heaven. What do they need to do? And it's talking about a man who has multiple riches. And he said, "What do I need to do? This I've done, this I've done." Jesus said, "Go sell everything. Come follow me." And he went away disappointed. And his disciples are having a conversation. So who can enter the kingdom then? Can a rich man who's laden down with all his wealth? And he says this, he looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible." But the principle is the same. Whatever you're talking about, there may be impossible things. Have you ever said to yourself or your family or your workplace, "This will never happen, it's impossible"? Well, with man, it may be impossible. But with God, some things, what's it say? All things. See, I've highlighted it for you just in case. All things are possible with who? With God. With God. There are things that you will find impossible. But it wouldn't be a miracle if you could do them. If you can't do them, and yet God privileges you to be able to do them, there's the miracle. I didn't think I'd be able to accomplish that. I didn't think I would get up and be the way that I am today. Lord, thank you for your grace. There's things that we see in our lives that if we look at them in the natural, they are impossible. Do you know what? In the natural, and I'm not putting myself down, in the natural it's impossible for me to do what I'm doing. Because if you'd have seen me as this shy little boy at school who was afraid of everything, including girls, girls used to petrify me. I used to run from them. I'd turn a scarlet colour whenever they came and approached. I was jittery with most things. I was no good at sports. Academia was definitely not there. I couldn't spell it. I couldn't understand it. I couldn't reason with it. But God blessed me with a voice, a loud voice. Now is the time. You see, with man, all things are not possible, but with God they are. And if we allow God to move in our lives and through our lives, then we'll see the impossibles come out. Lord, I can't do this. I'm struggling with this. I'll never change. Yes, you will. If you belong to him, you're going to change. How do I know that? I'm glad you asked. Because the Bible says you're going to go from glory to glory. You're going to change in the twinkling of an eye. You know, the old me is gone. The new me is here. I've been born afresh of his spirit. And it's the same for you. Possibilities is a year of. Unless the Lord builds the house. Have we heard that? Unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain. That is a true statement. Over the years, it says in Psalm 127, unless the Lord builds the house, that's his church, that's you as an individual, the temple of the Holy Spirit, and it's the wider church as well. The builder labors in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. And when I look at life and you look through things, there are things that have been good to do, and we've done them. There's been situations and circumstances that we've provided finances for over the years, and it's been good to do. But unless God builds the house, and for us, I'll bring it down to me. For me, it may appear at times that I'm actually doing nothing. But I don't want to start something unless God says, "Let's run with this. Let's do this." Because most of us are busy, aren't we? You don't need one more thing to make you busy. You need one more thing to enable you to be blessed and to be a blessing. To be able to sow into something, give your time, your testimony to something that God has said, now is the time for this. And then you'll see a harvest. Because there's this seed, this time, and this harvest. So we can have a bunch of seed. But if it's not planted, it won't produce a harvest, yes? So it's the same with our time and our talents and our resources. It's everything. And now is that time, I believe, for us as a church. Now is the time to see God move. He's going to build his house. He's going to be the one that brings people into the church as we pray, as we intercede, as we do what God's called us to do. You know, we know through the experience of life, that there's always a shaking, there's always a shuddering. Using that scripture that Claire alluded to with the walking on the water of Peter. As a Christian, this is how I see that portion of scripture. Just imagine it. It doesn't say this in scripture, but this is the heart of a believer of the Lord. They're all afraid in the boat, and Jesus is walking towards them. And Peter says, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come, and I'll come." And Jesus says, "Come." Now just put your name there. Sharon says, "Lord, if it's you, just call me to come." And he says, "Sharon, come." And she gets out of the boat, and she takes her eyes off, and there's circumstances around her. And then she begins to sink. And then Jesus says, "Sharon, get up, go back, come again." Can you imagine what you would do the second time? Your eyes would be fixed. So it doesn't matter if we stumble and we fall, because the Lord will lift us up. As long as we'll put our eyes on him and not on the wind and the waves that are around us. Sorry for picking on you, Sharon. But unless the Lord builds the house, we labour in vain. But there's a time where we can either be stuck in our failures, or our failures can produce our faith. Now, these may seem cliche, but they're truth, aren't they? You know, I can't do this, and the Lord comes good. Do it my way, not your way. Or Yahweh, if we want to be biblical. Do it Yahweh, not your way. You know, "Lord, I'm struggling with this. Let me help you." And unless we get to the end of ourselves, we can't start that journey. And if you can do it yourself, you don't need God, do you? If you can do it yourself, you don't need God. But if you say, "Lord, I don't know if I can do this," let's go together, the Bible says. Why? Because he wants to build his house, and you are that house, and I am that house. We are that house. The global church is his house. Yet there is a time coming, and I believe that now is that time. It's time. And if we're going to look at time, the one that we have to read is this one here. Ecclesiastes 3. I want you to listen to this portion of scripture and just identify with whatever area you need to identify with. There is a time for everything. There is a time for everything. There's a time to get up, there's a time to go to bed. There's a season for every activity under the heavens. Not just some, but every. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. This could have been written yesterday, couldn't it? A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. There's a time for everything. Sue and I, we're hoping to move house soon, very soon. And so we've been taking this opportunity to declutter. Well, that's what Susan says to me anyway. Do you need that? To declutter. I was one of them people. I couldn't walk past a skip without having palpitations. You're not going to throw that away, are you? That will come in handy one day. And I had 6 garages full of handy stuff that I've never used. And over the years, I've decluttered. And we're in that hopefully final stage of decluttering. You know what? But there's storage boxes that we're emptying. And because we've emptied one storage box, it leaves room for something else to go in that is going to be used, fit for purpose. In Matthew 6, verse 19, it says this: "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin will destroy, and where thieves will break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where moths and vermin will not destroy or do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal." You know, there's things in our lives that we can let go of, the broken things. And in a spiritual sense, we're not talking about broken lives, because God can mend them. You know, we don't discard people who are broken. But I'm just talking about a natural thing now, something within your life that's not fit for purpose anymore. Things that are broken, things that we need to let go of. You know, there are things that we hang on to because it reminds us of a time maybe in our childhood, and maybe it's time to let those things go. And as I look through some of the things that I've collected over the years, and I shake a bit when I'm putting them in the bin, just as a sideline, there'd be a time where Susan would choose to declutter my wardrobe. And I would notice the arm of a shirt hanging out of the bin. And she would fill the bin up with my old stuff. And I would take, well, I still want that. And I would take them out and put them back. Now, spiritually, you know, nothing's wasted, is it? Spiritually, we can do that. You know, God says, remove that from your life. Remove that person from your life. That circumstance, that situation. Remove that from your life. Because every time you look at that thing, it reminds you of something negative. I don't want you to be reminded of something negative. Remove it. And what do? We say, okay, Lord. And then we take it back. There was a young man that preached a message on this holiday we was on when we was young Christians, and it was a simple message, and he was talking about, you know, our sins being like bags that are chained to our wrists, and when we come to the Lord, he comes with his spiritual bolt croppers and he cuts the chains, and the sin fall to the ground and the weight has gone, and we go, thank you, Lord. And then a few days later we just pick them back up again. Amen. And that sometimes can be us, and God says, let it go. I would sing the song, but I don't want to. Let it go. Do a Frozen. Let it go. That will remind you of this message. Let it go. There are things that we no longer, they're no longer good for us. Things that we need to let go of and allow God to move in our lives. In John 3, verse 30, it says this. He must become greater that I become less. Now, why do I put this scripture in? Just imagine, now you've got a box of stuff. In order for that box to be full of something that's good, it needs to be emptied of something that's not so good. So what is John saying here? He says, Lord, for me to receive more of you, then there needs to be less of me. Does that make sense? So for me to have more of him, there needs to be less of me. So if I see myself as a glass half empty, then I need God to fill the other half, don't I? There needs to be less. There needs to be room in my heart for the Lord to work. And there's sometimes where I'll say, Lord, you can have this, but don't touch that. You know, when we say, Lord, you can have all of me, we need to be careful, because we'll get exactly what we ask for. If we allow God access to all areas, he will use your talents, your time, your ability. He'll use your weakness, your strength. He'll use your bank balance. He will use everything because we've asked him to. And so there's times that we need to declutter in our lives in order to make room for what God is going to do. This is a time to build, I believe. And for years and years, over the years, people have come to us and said, shall we do this? Shall we print some leaflets and advertise? Shall we? And there hasn't been an urgency on my heart, and I don't want us to do things that are not going to be fruitful. I don't want you to spend your time and your talents on something that's not going to be fruitful. But do I believe as an individual, as a Christian, as a minister, that now is the time? I do. And this is as excited as you're going to see me get. I don't show excitement very often. But I believe that God has chosen us for such a time as this. It's time to us build our small groups. It's time for to use that word evangelism and look at the people that are gifted and say, go and share. And when I look at Glenn, I see an evangelist. And I'm sure there's others in the room. Let's go and share. It's a time to realise the overseas mission that we're involved with is a good news story. We went to a funeral, a celebration of life of a lady. And when you listen to what she'd achieved in her life, the work that she'd devoted her life to overseas in the lives of other people. It was truly humbling. And there's times that we don't see what God is doing through us as a small church. We don't see the lives that have been changed in Uganda. We're hoping this year to go out to Uganda, and I'll bring back a video and I will show you what you have helped to achieve. And as we pray for them, they are praying for us. We have seen a man who put four sticks in the ground and said, this is a school. Build a school. Build a complex. To see lives changed. To see a village, a community changed. To see resources put into God's work. To see a church thriving in that village where it was once ruled by witch doctors. We don't get the time to see that, but we will this year. I will bring the highlights. It's time to celebrate in what God has already achieved through me and through you. It's time to equip the house, to train individuals that are willing to be trained. It's time to let others know who we are, where we are, and what we believe. It's time for me to grab hold of social media. Oh my goodness, it's going to be difficult. But it's time to use what God has enabled us to use. It's time for us to see the investment within the home that we've been given. Every time there's a football match, I want there to be a sign outside that says, this is who we are, this is what we believe. I want us, the signs that are out the front of the gate, which I don't want to change the logo because I believe it was an inspired logo given to us, three crosses with grace running through it, that's who we are. You know, if we was a stick of Blackpool Rock, when you cut us open, that would be not Blackpool, but grace written through. But we can do something with them. We can see what God will use. It's time to prepare our classrooms for the increase. It's time to believe that we will make a difference. You know, sometimes we can get up and we can come to church because we've always got up and come to church, and that's what we do. But it's time to believe that you and I, we will make a difference. I had a plumber come and service my boiler. See, nothing is wasted if you let your mind run. And I said to him, how long will this take you, Jim, to do? And he had someone working with him. And he said, there's two of us, and it's like three. That's the word synergy. One is one, two is three. Well, how many are we then? You know, when we come together and we pool our resources and our talents, and the things that I can do, I do, and the things that you can do, you do. It's not just two of us, there's multiple of us. And I believe it's time to believe that we can make a difference. It's time to pray and intercede. You know, this, and this pains me, and I'm glad it pains me. I see people in kingdom, right? And I know Paul is here with us, but I went to see Jenny, that's Paul's wife, in hospital. It pains me to see her being robbed of her blessing. There's a friend of mine, Paul, and he suffered with mental health all his life. It pains me to see him languishing in bed with no hope. It pains me to see God's people being robbed. But you know what? We have an opportunity, if we will believe it, to intercede, to stand in the gap and believe that God will move. We have an opportunity to speak life where there's death. There are people that cannot come to church today because they're unwell. Let's start to be serious about it, in the sense of, let it pain us. Let us pray, Lord, let me see with your eyes and feel with your heart. And if you pray that and believe that, trust me, it will be painful. Because when we look through his eyes, it has to be painful. But he will enable us to be the answer to the question. So it's time for us to pray and intercede. It's time for all of us to bring our gifts, our talents, and offer them to God afresh. In Isaiah 6, let me just share it with you. Isaiah 6, 8, it says this. Then I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Now we can look at scripture and we can make it say anything we want to. But even in context, it's still true. This is still a true statement. Then I heard the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And whom will go for us? You just imagine the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit going, who can I send? And then you say, Here I am. Send Nigel. Here I am. Send me. But we do, don't we? Here I am, Lord, but they're more qualified than I am. You know, the Lord speaks to people. He does speak to people. He speaks to us through his word and through his reign. And he could say something which is quite profound to you. I want you to serve in this way. And human nature is this. Yeah, but they're better than me. Why don't you ask them to do it because they're smarter? Well, God didn't ask them, did he? He asked you. He asked me. And that's something the enemy will do. The enemy will convince you that you're not worthy to serve God in that way. But if God said, who said? God said. But God said. Some years ago, and I'll share it at some point for those that don't know me that well. The Lord, I felt him speak to me. He asked me to wear, no, he didn't ask me to wear a suit. He said this, I want you to dress as if you're at the front, and I want you to sit at the back, and I will call you forward. And so I knew what that meant. I was a man who grew up, a young lad who grew up having two sets of clothes, best clothes and playing clothes, two pairs of shoes, one were holes, one without. One we went to school with, the other we went to play with. And so for me, I understood what Sunday best meant. It meant my best clothes. So I went out and I bought myself a three-piece suit and a tie and a nice shirt. And I came to church, a church like ours. And I came into church dressed as if I was going to a wedding. And someone said to me, why? And I said, God said. God said. Are you willing to be embarrassed if God says? What did David say? Oh, we'll be more undignified than this. You think this is bad? You just wait. It's not about bucking the trend. It's about, did God say? And if God said it a year ago, 10 years ago, he doesn't need to say anything different to you. Yeah, but Lord, you spoke to me when I was a young Christian and you said, I want you to go and deliver this, my word, to the lost and the lonely. But you haven't spoken to me since. Well, does he have to? He's already said. So we're the ones that need to do what he's already called us to do. So maybe it's a time. It's a time to say, here I am, send me. Here I am, use me. Have you ever used this phrase? I have. Someone ought to. Someone ought to do that. Oh no, did I really say that? Because you know what's coming next. Well, you do it. Yeah, but someone else ought to do that. Someone else ought to pick that litter up. Someone else ought to put them chairs out. Someone else ought to go and tell that person they're a sinner. And if they don't change their ways, they're going to hell. Oh, no, send someone else. But can we get to a point where we can say truly in our hearts, and if we can't, that's good, that's fine. But if we can, Lord, here I am, send me. Enable me to do what it is you want me to do. It's time to look at all these things. It's time to pray. And it's time for all of us to bring our time and our talents into the house and say, Lord, here I am. Use me. It's time to ask and believe. You know, there's times that we do ask, but do we believe? That's not saying you don't. I'm just putting the challenge out there. Do we ask and do we believe? In Mark 11, it says this. In 24, therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. In our prayer group, I use this portion of scripture quite a lot. And the way I deal with it is like this. We pray for something. So let's say, Lord, I pray that you would heal my body. Lord, you know this situation that I have. So you prayed for it, haven't you? So you've done this first part. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you asked for in prayer, you've asked for it in prayer. Now we need to believe it. And how do we use that part of the scripture? Well, what's helpful for me is this. Lord, I pray that you would heal my body. Then I'd say, Lord, thank you for that healing. Thank you for that blessing. I've prayed as if my prayer has already been answered. I may not have caught up with the physical or the mental or the emotional or the financial state that I'm asking for, but I'm standing in faith because I've said, Lord, will you? And then I've said, Lord, thank you. Thank you. You know, it's like me saying to one of you, would you come and help me take all this stuff down the skip that I've accumulated? And then you say yes. And I say thank you. Well, you haven't done it yet, have you? But in anticipation of you keeping your word, I've already thanked you for what I haven't received yet. But maybe I have, but I just haven't seen it. Does that make sense? In the spiritual sense? So it's time for us to ask and believe. You know, Scripture says, and it's quite blunt this, you don't have it because you don't ask for it. Lord, you haven't done this for me. Well, have you asked for it? Well, no, but you know everything. You know everything. You know that I need it. Yeah, I do. But I want you to know that you need it. It's time to invest. It's time to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? In Matthew 6:21, it says, for where your treasure is, your heart is also. You know, part of the blessing that Susan and I received in December was financial blessing. We received a gift in gifts. Somebody, people, persons, whatever, chose to invest in us. Their heart was for us and they invested in us. How lovely is that? You see, people don't give because they don't like someone or they don't want to invest in someone. They see something and they want to invest in it. And we were blessed. You know, I call my iPad my Bible because that's what I use it for. It's my Bible, it's my study work. My old one was broken and it froze. And I was blessed because somebody gave a priestly offering to the church. And the church said, use it. Use it. I'm blessed. Why? Because where your treasure is, your heart is also. So I want you to not be triggered by finance, but just prayerfully say, okay, Lord, I want to invest in grace. We receive offerings and we are grateful for them. And those offerings have supported me and Susan for many years. And we are grateful for that. We don't come on a regular basis and ask for us as a church. We ask for mission work. And you have been faithful over the years in both. In giving to mission, in giving to one-off Ukraine offerings or whatever it may be. You have been generous. We asked for an offering to make the classroom so we could use it through COVID. And someone just sold £1,000 into the church and said, do it. I don't know what the right hand does. But you do, the one who gives. And so I'm asking us to prayerfully. You know, the Bible says, be a joyful, but also a prayerful giver. You know, you can't give what you haven't got. I don't want you to give what you haven't got. I'm going to tell you a story now, and I'm on the last page, so you know that I only have 10 minutes. There was a time in a church I belonged to, they had a building offering, and I had no money. I was earning very little. But you know what got me? Was I felt guilty because everyone else was giving and I couldn't. And I wrote an IOU out. And it was foolish because I never had it. And some time went by and the treasurer came up to me and he said this. You don't know who he is. You don't know the circumstance, so I can share it. He said, your IOU, I never put through the offering. The only people that know about it is me, you, and God. I would like to tear that up and free you from the burden. And I said to him, I gave that IOU in foolishness, but I'm going to stand by it in faith. And there came a time where there was a celebration that the church was going to. It was called Grapevine, they called the One Event. And the cost of going there was what my IOU represented. And Susan and I had spoken about it, and as much as we wanted to go, we decided to give to the offering and be faithful to the foolish offering that we'd given in the first place. And we put our money in an envelope, and we put that envelope in the offering. On that day, And this is true on that day. The treasurer came up to me and he said, "This was in the offering with your name on it." And I opened it up. And not only was there enough money in that offering to cover my offering, but to cover the cost of Grapevine. Now, I didn't know that God was going to do that. See, God knows the heart, doesn't he? But what I'm saying to us as a church, do not give what you have not got. Because I want you to be able to feed yourselves and feed your family and take care of what God has given you. But at the overflow, maybe God will speak into our hearts and say, over a period of time, we can invest in this. And that's what I want us to do. It's time to believe. It's time to invest. We're going to invest in membership, in small groups, in lifting our profile, in visiting other people. God's word will be delivered. His worship, we want to see God move. The welcome, the training, the pastoral care. Men's ministry, Rusty Hinge, what we do with women's ministry, invest in children. It's time to get ready. In Matthew 24:24, it says this: "For false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive you, if that's possible, even the elect." It's time for us to understand that in this church we preach the truth, God's word. It may not be pleasant at times, but we preach God's word. It may be contradictory to some people, but we preach God's word. We need to understand that there's a time coming where the enemy will try to do what he's always done, rob, steal and destroy. But I'm saying to us as a church, I believe the time is coming where we will see blessing, more blessing, an exceeding blessing. And I'm not talking about finances, I'm talking about his work. I'm talking about him using you and him using me. I'm praying about a time where we lay hands on the sick and we see them recover. I'm talking about a time where you pray for a family member and they come to faith. I'm talking about a time where things that you've believed for will suddenly come to pass. This is not a prophetic word, this is God's word. He says his favour is upon his people. Please pray and support what the Lord will do in us and through us. And I'll leave you with this final portion of scripture. And we'll ask Emma and team to come back and lead us in that final hymn as we ponder upon what God is calling us to do. It says this: "Mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days." So how do we know when the last days are upon us there'll be terrible times? Listen to this. This could have been written yesterday. We could have come back from Davos, we could have switched on the TV and look at what's happening in Israel and Ukraine and Russia and other parts of the world. We can look at on our own doorstep, we can see what's happening in the neighbour's house and the house down the road. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. This is the most dangerous one. Having a form of godliness but denying his power. Having a form of godliness but denying his power, have nothing to do with such people. That is a difficult one, but that is a deadly one. There are people that we will come against, we will see. There will be people that will call themselves fellow believers. There will be people that will say, "I believe in God. I believe in God." Well, Satan believes in God, but Jesus Christ is the only way to him. There will be people that will say, "There are many ways." No, there's only one way. Yes? There's only one way, one truth. And so that's a dangerous one. As we look upon what I've spoken and shared today, I want you to understand that if he is for us, then who can be against us? But for us as a church, I'd like us to consider investing in what God has already done. And let's see what God will do through me and through you. Let's